when it came to TikTok, I didn't think or know that we would go in this direction in this short amount of time. I'm very happy about it. Learn this stuff, talk about this stuff, but have it come from the heart, not from the head.
Welcome back to Business Talk, the TikTok marketing podcast for business owners and entrepreneurs who want real strategies to generate leads and sales directly from TikTok. I'm your host, Austin Armstrong, and I'll be interviewing real business owners and entrepreneurs from every industry that are leveraging TikTok to grow their business and spread their message. If you want to get a kickstart on TikTok, I have a free TikTok checklist for you in the show notes. Let's jump into it. Today's guest is Pej Alagamandan. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different because Pej is not only a client that we've helped grow on TikTok, but a good friend of mine and someone that I've known for quite a few years now. We used to co-host a recovery podcast together for years called Sober Grind and worked together at my last job before I went full-time with my agency, Socialty Pro. Pej is an interventionist that specializes in helping people with substance addiction, alcoholism, and mental health. He has worked with Hightower Associates in the past and was directly trained under Earl Hightower. Pej often speaks at public seminars, high schools, and universities nationwide, raising awareness and teaching about substance abuse prevention. He's involved with parents who have lost their loved ones to addiction and helped create and organize a nonprofit organization on the East Coast named Arise and Flourish in Montgomery County, Maryland. Pej was a co-host on a recovery podcast named The Sober Grind from 2017 until 2020, then created another podcast named Pej's Recovery Corner in 2020, which is still going on. Go check that out, by the way. He interviews guests from all walks of life about their recovery or their educated knowledge surrounding sobriety, recovery, and mental health. Pej got into the TikTok space in late 2020 and learned that he could carry his message more widespread on an international level. Pej also owns two structured sober livings in California, a men's house named Essence Recovery Home, and a female house, along with being LGBTQ friendly, named Limitless Journey. Pej, thank you so much for joining me today, brother.
Thank you for having me today, Pat. Austin, so good to be here.
It's great to have you, man. How long have we known each other? Like at least 5 or 6 years now, right? How long do you think it's been?
I think we met in 2017, and that's, what is that? At least 5 years now. About
5 years? Crazy to think it's been that long. It's been awesome to see all the things that you're doing and growing and helping save lives, man.
Thank you. It's been awesome being alongside you on this journey.
It's been a lot of fun. We've made a lot of videos together, and that was a fun podcast that we did, Sober Grind, back in the day. Definitely got my feet wet with the podcast.
Yes.
So when I first told you about TikTok, or maybe when you first heard about it, what were your honest opinions of the platform at that time?
Well, I had heard that it was, at one time, from my understanding, TikTok was Musical.ly, if I'm not mistaken. And there was a woman I was dating, her 7-year-old was on there, and she had me download it. So like I was a member of Musical.ly at a very, like, you know, way back in the day. Like I think I did a couple of little things on there. I thought it seems sort of like Snapchat style-esque, you know, but I wasn't really sure what it was. And then obviously they had the name change and it became a whole other animal. And so when you were all up in it, I thought to myself, well, that sounds, you know, I thought this is probably like, you know, it's intended for children or for youngsters or for teenagers, but definitely not for something that I thought I would be on so actively as I am now.
It's funny to hear that. And so, you know, fast forward a little bit, you know, now you've been on the platform a couple years. What do you currently like and or dislike about TikTok?
You know, I'm a very positive person. I'd rather talk about things that I like. I don't really find a lot wrong with TikTok. I think it's growing. You know what I don't like? I don't like that you have to be friends with people to receive messages on TikTok. I think I'm sure there was probably some kind of motive or reasoning for them to do that. But you know, there's other ways of being able to receive the messages now. However, what I do like is the fact that I've made so many connections and continue to make connections worldwide as a result of being on there and just, you know, talking about recovery from my point of view, from my professional background, from my experience with addiction, with alcoholism, with mental health. I get a lot of interaction, a lot more than when I had a smaller following or when I had less views or likes to my videos. So now there's been some momentum, especially just in the last month, where I'm becoming more recognized. My brand is becoming more, there's brand awareness that's going on, and there's people that are really constantly asking me questions. And, you know, a lot of people think that somebody needs to be a licensed doctor or physician or psychiatrist in order to be able to spread information when it comes to addiction, or an addictionologist for that matter. But I've done my drug and alcohol studies. I've worked in the field for quite some time. But as an interventionist, my life is to help intervene on people. So I get to have conversations with people that are very heartfelt, a lot that I don't really project or talk about. And then there's some that sometimes I'll take a screenshot on my Facebook and talk about the interactions that I have. I was at the gym the other day and a kid came up to me and said, "Hey, you're that guy, you're TikTok famous. Is that you?" He wanted to make sure it was me. He was with his friend. And I said, "Well, yes, I'm on TikTok." And he said, "Dude, I want you to know I quit smoking weed 3 months ago because of you." Whoa. Like, you helped me. And so that's happening. And this is a big deal, because if, you know, you never know whose lives you're touching or who you're helping. And there's a lot of people that are seeking some kind of counsel or some kind of experiential knowledge, if you will.
No, that's awesome. And the criticisms that you get are so interesting to me, because, you said you get criticisms of people saying you're not a medical doctor, right? What do you know?
Sometimes people will question what I'm talking about. You know, like, how does he know? Who is he? Then, yeah, there are criticisms from some of the people online that say, "Oh, he's just an old drug addict that couldn't hold his drugs or his alcohol, and so now he's coming in like trying to get people to follow the sober wagon." You know, so yeah, I mean, you're always going to get criticism, especially in a space like TikTok. Come on now.
Yeah, the reason I brought that up is because it's funny, is because we work with medical doctors, really clinical licensed PhD, PsyD doctors, and it's the opposite side of things, right? It's they don't care that they're licensed. They get the criticisms that, how would you know about this, because you don't have personal experience. So it just goes both ways. There's no happy middle ground, right? People are always going to find something to complain about.
Absolutely.
So you've been on TikTok for about 2 years now, right? When did we start? When did you start exactly?
Do you remember? We started like right at the end of 2020. We talked about it a lot, and I think right into 2021 we created the Pegs Intervention, TikTok account. I already had my other account. I don't even utilize it. I don't go on it. I sometimes check it out just to see, but there's nothing going on in my regular account. This is a professional account, and this one's been active since right at the beginning of 2021. So we're about a little over a year and a half in.
That's awesome. About a year and a half in, you're about to hit 90,000 followers. Congratulations on that. We've certainly hit a stride in the last month that we're going to talk about shortly. The 88,000, 90, almost 90,000. Did you think what you had to say in your message would resonate with this many people online?
I've always wanted to be able to be on some kind of a platform where my message can be received, delivered, and received on a more, a more vast, to be able to get to more people's ears, right, on a higher level. Because I was very limited when it came to Facebook or trying to do, podcasts that where you're trying to build your audience on YouTube. So when it came to TikTok, I didn't think or know that we would go in this direction in this short amount of time. I'm very happy about it. And I feel like we're just going to keep growing and growing.
So you talk a lot about your personal experiences, sharing other people's journeys and experiences. Why do you think the content resonates with so many people?
Because people see themselves in other people's experiences. People will hear certain things and they can relate to that. They may have gotten high a certain way, or they may have struggled a certain way. They may have attempted to get sober several times a certain way. And so when they hear it from somebody else's experience, then there's hope, because that individual is now completely transformed and changed their lives. Then they zero in on that. You know, like when I'm on TikTok myself and I'm just, I didn't used to do this, but I've done it more recently, look at other people's videos. I find myself sometimes not even listening to 2 milliseconds of somebody's thing. I will, and it's, I shouldn't do this, but like, I will judge the person by the way they're presenting themselves, or even maybe the way they look, or what they're appearing to say, and just flip right by it and have no interest in looking at it. Sometimes I find myself looking at how many likes they have, how many followers that they have. I will go and like actually investigate people. I know that on the back end of that, TikTok is totally building their algorithm based off of all of this activity that's happening within. But, you know, obviously we've now learned how to be able to present our content in a way so that people that are interested in what we're talking about can click on it, whether, or even people that are not interested, people that are active in active addiction might come and check it out just to see like what they can say or what kind of comment they can make. But we've gauged our audience quite well. And I think that people want to hear about this stuff, because at the end of the day, I don't care who you are, where you're from, in any part of this, any corner or crevice of this world, I believe that somebody knows somebody that's suffering from addiction, alcoholism, or mental health. If they aren't themselves, they either have a family, a friend, or a neighbor, or someone that they happen to notice might need some help. So this stuff is beneficial to them.
Very well said. And that's just unfortunately how rampant addiction is in society. My sister's in recovery. That's what led me to working in the industry in the first place, and ultimately leading up to meeting you and all the great stuff so that we've done. So, you know, everybody knows somebody that has at least at one point struggled, if not currently struggled, or are struggling themselves. And that's why your message is so important. You also hit on something really interesting there that I want to dive into a little bit and sort of uncover your thoughts on this, maybe two-part question here. But you noticed a pattern of yourself when you're watching TikTok and scrolling through TikTok of immediate turnoffs, whether it's how they open the video, something that they're wearing, their speech patterns, or something like that. I'm wondering if you could break that down a little bit deeper and explain some of the patterns that you've noticed of what turns you off from watching a video, and how you structure your content that we create together to hold people's attention. Because the attention span is so short on TikTok, and we're served endless amounts of content. That opening second, that opening hook, if you will, is so important for growth and momentum and continuing to get people to watch. Go as deep as you want there. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that.
Okay. So, you know, as you know me, and I think many know me, I'm a man of recovery, but I'm also very charismatic. I'm excited for life. So I seek charisma within others. When I see that somebody is excited for life, or presents themselves in a way to where they can be humorous, but they can also be knowledgeable, but they can be spiritual, but they can also have some kind of experience, the charisma in me recognizes the charisma in them. And that's what I get drawn into. Like I want to see like, well, what's this about? What's that? And you know, sometimes on TikTok, there's such a large, various amounts of different types of content. I mean, it's just a whole slew of different things. It's not just, obviously on my thing, it's not just recovery related. You'll see somebody robbing a bank, but then you'll see somebody, like walking down Skid Row and talking to homeless people. So this is the type of stuff that it needs to be interesting for me to really want to watch it for more than a few seconds. And if it's like something that grasps my attention and is meaningful, or even makes me laugh, or gets me to chuckle, or that I can watch with my girlfriend's son. Because we'll sometimes be like going through TikTok videos together, and there are certain things where I just think, oh, I don't want him to see that. We'll go past right there. But it's what appeals to me. And sometimes it's stuff that I've never even experienced in my entire life, but somebody will say or do something on a TikTok video where I think, wow, that's pretty cool. Like I enjoyed that. And then it gives me ideas too of how to present myself for new things that I might want to try to incorporate into my style and the way that I make my videos.
Now, our content strategy has changed a couple times over the last year and a half because we're always A/B testing things. We're testing different delivery styles, different ways to create content, different topics, different subject matters. We really hit a stride this month, I think. I sent you a screenshot earlier today. I mean, the last 28 days, I think you gained 20-something thousand followers, 3.5 million views. And I've pulled back from the topics that I present to you, and I've leaned more on you to create content that you're passionate about and think that will do really well. And it's obviously been paying off. I want to hear your thoughts, break it down on why you think this, explain what your new content strategy is. Why do you think that's working so much?
Well, when I first entered into the space, into the TikTok space, you were already like a Jedi in training and well on your way to becoming, like an emperor. And so once I came into this space, I knew nothing about how to present it, what we're supposed to do. The fact that it's always good to write your topic right in front of you. Anybody that's really experienced with TikTok knows that people don't really care to see you if they just see you. Like, they're going to need to see like what you have to say when it's written in front of them. So that's a no-brainer. The topics that you were coming up with obviously were beneficial. They gave me ideas. As I would go along, I would write down my own topics per week in my notes on my phone. I would put, and I still do, new stuff for TikTok. And it's usually ideas that come about some kind of experience I'll have. I might be going after a body broker or trying to, make sure that they're not trying to get somebody and put them in treatment illegally. So an idea will go in like, let's educate people on what body brokers are, because a lot of people have no idea what that is. So we'll put that on the label. What's it like to be body brokered or something like that? Then that's just a small example. But as I go along, I'm always taking notes of things that I want to use as content. And then I think one of the things, and with all due respect, like, your questions were always great. There was some of them that were questionable where I thought, who cares about that? Like, I just thought, like, nobody cares about, certain things. But then I would just wing it and try it. And I thought, if Austin's trying to teach it to me, or at least presenting it to me, it might be something that I can learn from. I want to always make sure that the people that are around me are my greatest teachers. And so I would sometimes use some of that stuff. And then I started gauging and looking and seeing, like, does anyone care about this? Does anyone care about that? No. Oh, yes, yes, yes. That was a good one. This was a good one. Sometimes TikTok's, baffling. Like, you, there's something that you would never expect that just like hits really hard and everybody actually cares about. And also the way that you present it. Now, I do think that what started to change here in the last couple of months, specifically, I mean, there was times when there were no topics in front of me to go off of a list. So, and I was kind of, I had already done everything that was on my own personal list. So I started to wing it. I would just, it was things that were off the top of my head. Something like the one that hit the hardest more recently was obviously how do cocaine addicts behave, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know, sometimes it's fun to actually talk about like how they behave. And usually it's from personal experience because I'm a former cocaine and crack addict. So I knew how I behaved. I knew what I would do. So I would just describe that stuff. And I think we also had a good experience, you and I, back in the day when we did a video for a particular center that we worked at in relation to how to methamphetamine, like the whole being a meth user and a meth addict, like the feelings and the things that one goes through and the ups and the downs. And when you're describing this stuff, you know that your audience that might be on that or might have a loved one that's on that is going to totally relate to it and come and say, I get that. So what can we do to help this individual that I know that's suffering, or help myself that's suffering? How did you stop? And that's a big deal. That matters a lot, So we were winging a lot of it. A lot of our more recent content that we came up with was just off the cuff. You know what I mean? Like, obviously the how do cocaine addicts be, that one was a, it hit really hard. So then we decided more on our last filming session to do more other different types of substances and how those types of people that use them behave. And I pretty much have done every substance in the book except for one or two. And sometimes we even made videos about what drugs haven't you done it? And then we'd like to engage and ask our audience, what about you? What drugs haven't you done and why? So then you get them, like there's engagement going on there because everybody wants to tell you what they have done, but everybody also wants to tell you what they haven't done, right? So it's all about, you know, just coming up with creative things that we can talk about and people can relate to, and then they can talk about too.
You've also been doing a great job of leveraging and sort of interviewing other people too. I love those new recent videos you went to, Rock to Recovery. You interview friends and other people, other colleagues that you're connected with. Can you talk about that strategy a little bit too, aside from just you talking and sharing your experience, leveraging other people?
Yes. So it's kind of amazing that, like, when a lot of us come into recovery, and maybe it's just everyday life, we don't like to hear our voices. Sometimes we will, when we're sharing, perhaps in like a 12-step meeting, like we are more worried about what people think about how we sound rather than how we present ourselves or what we're talking about, right? So it took me some time to get over caring about how I sounded. I came to this conclusion that I like the way I sound. I like the way that I present myself. I feel like I'm well-spoken enough when it comes to talking about recovery that I have enough knowledge base to be able to talk about it. However, when I was going through my TikTok, I was noticing that if I was a person that took interest in me, but it wasn't me, and I tapped on that guy's content and I keep seeing him in different videos constantly, the same guy saying the same thing over a period of time, I would get tired of that guy. Mm-hmm. I just would. Like, I would say, okay, that's that guy that talks about recovery. He's an interventionist. He helps people there's knowledge base, but it's going to be that guy every time. Now, because I also was with you on a podcast where we had some guests, and then my podcast is solely based off of guests, right? Like, I know a vast amount of people from all throughout the United States and in some parts of the world now that are in the recovery process from many different forms of recovery. So it's already interesting to bring people as guests on my podcast. So I had this idea that why not like have them in TikTok videos too? And yeah, there were some ideas from other people that are in the recovery space that would film people that are in recovery. They got a lot of flat, like heat for that. And they got very much judged for, some people would say that you're exploiting addicts and things like that. But I ask every single person that I put on my video, I ask permission. And if they tell me that, and most people want to, most people are very open and they really want to talk about stuff. Most people, a lot of people will want to talk about stuff, but there's certain things they don't want to talk about. And I will respect that. I'll ask them, what don't you want to talk about, so that we make sure that we don't do that. But I think that when people see guests or friends or even random strangers at some kind of sober event on your videos and you're interacting with them, you ask a question rather than you be the same guy that keeps getting asked the same different questions and keep on giving all these responses. Now you're hearing it from other people and you're seeing it work in other people's lives.
I love that. Now I want to sort of challenge you a little bit. I want to ask you this question, and maybe nobody outside of the recovery industry cares about this, but there are certain groups, online organizations that say you shouldn't share your personal experiences or exploit other people to market what you do in the addiction and recovery space. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that perspective and why sharing your message with so many people matters to you.
So you're always going to be judged for what you do. If you succeed, people will judge your success based on what you are doing to achieve that success. Some people will say that you're a fraud. Some people will applaud you. When it comes to recovery, obviously, in, let's say, the 12-step world, they talk about anonymity. They basically are saying, keep this private. If people are struggling, you know, to bring them to this organization. However, you don't need to go broadcast that you are a member of this organization or broadcast that you know other members by name, right? So We're in 2022. I mean, sure, we just had a pandemic, but we also have had and continue to have a growing epidemic when it comes to addiction, especially with fentanyl and many other drugs too. You know, we can't stay silent. There's going to be, you're going to see addiction and mental health growing more than ever because the population increases and the times are tough. So people fall apart and they experience a lot of mental health and some of them resort to using drugs. There's a lot of curiosity. There's a lot of addicts who, just as much as addiction can kill you, when they catch wind of certain types of drugs that can get you to the point of having an overdose, they actually want to do that stuff. So we need to educate. There needs to be more people that are announcing, spreading awareness, teaching people about the dangers of what's going on in our society, fighting the good fight, preventing to try to help people. I don't think there's anything wrong with talking about being an addict. I was judged for it when Facebook first was created or came out, where the actual general public could be on Facebook. I remember there was people in my 12-step groups that would tell me, you don't need to go and talk about your addiction publicly in front of people. And all I was trying to do was just to let people know, if you're out there suffering, I can't privately just be sitting in 12-step meetings and not let you know that I've gotten well. I would like for people to know, if you want help, you can come to me. I'm not telling you, come to me so we can go to AA or CA or NA. Just come to me, talk to me. One addict or one alcoholic talking to another, and then we'll see. And I can tell them, this is how I did it. You know, there's many different ways that I got sober. I didn't just get sober from one source. So I don't really, at this point, I've got tough skin. And if people want to say anything, a lot of people don't really talk about me in a negative way. There's a select few that always will, and always it'll happen. It just happens that way. But for the most part, people know me as the recovery guy. They know that if their loved one is struggling, just right now, as we're talking, got a text right here. I see it on my iMessage. My son is struggling. So how do these people find out about me? I mean, it's because I'm out there talking. I'm talking about the fact that if you want help or you're struggling, we're here for you. Why not? Like, what? I mean, they would be neglected if nobody was talking or saying anything. So there's that.
I love your perspective on that and completely, utterly agree with you. There's, you know, it's shocking that talking about this stuff and talking about your experience is controversial, because you've overcome something that someone else is currently struggling with, life-threatening, threatening their family, their environment, everyone around them. And to remain silent seems like a missed opportunity to spread and connect with somebody who you could save their lives. So the idea of remaining quiet is a disservice to all of the millions of people, not just in the United States, but worldwide, that are struggling with this.
Right.
It's frustrating to see criticisms come out, but it's unfortunately the world that we live in. Speaking of people reaching out to you, whether it's in person, like you had mentioned, text messages, DMs on Instagram, on a daily or weekly basis, how many people would you say reach out to you for help originating from TikTok?
Lately, it's been at least 10 to 15 to 20, sometimes 25.
Per week or per day?
Per day.
Wow.
That's lately. When the one that hit a million just started to bring a lot of traffic in, like a lot of people coming to ask questions specifically about the topic. And then some of them, I think, went and investigated other stuff after seeing that video to see who the guy is and realized, oh, we can ask this guy questions outside of just cocaine addiction. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that are seeking. Many people will seek advice. Some people want counsel. Some people want to know how they can stop. Some people aren't yet sure what the hell they want, right? They want me to tell them how to cut down. And like, what do you tell a 15-year-old to? I just tell them to change your life. I would hope you'd change your life, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm getting a lot of messages. And I'm glad that we figured out early on how they can get a hold of me, since TikTok banned the no friend can't send a message thing.
We're gonna talk about that in just a second. If you were to, so 25, you know, recently, you know, since we started, maybe in the last year and a half, how many individuals and families do you think, if you could put a rough estimate on it, that you've helped or saved their lives, gotten them into treatment? How many people do you think that you've helped because of the videos that you make?
It's hard to say, because there's a lot of them that don't tell you that you helped them until they tell you later, or like, yeah, there's some people that won't say anything for a while. They'll just watch the videos and then they'll come and hit you up like months later and say, I really learned a lot from your TikTok. There was somebody that said the other day, they're a teenager, they ended up in rehab. They started watching my TikTok videos there and they decided to quit because of the stuff I was saying. So there's some people that we've gotten into treatment. There are some people that we've actually done interventions on. It's growing. You know what I mean? So this is a growing platform for me. I see, like, right now we are at almost at 90,000 followers. I see some of my other colleagues and friends that have a lot more followers, but you know, when I ask them, are you getting business? It's very questionable. Like they're either really private about it, or some of them make it seem like they're not, and maybe they don't check their messages or haven't figured out how to be able to communicate with their audience as much. But for me right now, I'm very satisfied with what's going on with my brand and who I am and what I'm doing in the TikTok space. I'm very, very impressed.
That's wonderful to hear. And isn't it amazing to just think that creating TikTok videos can actually save someone and their family's lives, when there's so much lack of understanding about TikTok in general, that it's the app for kids or for dancing videos and for pranks, but you're actually saving people's lives. Isn't that pretty wild?
I think it's amazing. It's remarkable. I mean, it's truly needed, you know, it's needed. That's why whenever I see other people on there that are sober or that are talking about sobriety, I love their stuff. Love the majority of them are, you know, doing it because their heart's in the right place and they're out saving lives too. And there's no monopoly on how many lives we need to save. This is about doing it for the better good. This is about truly coming from your heart. You know, even if I didn't get business through doing this on TikTok, it's very, very satisfying to know that there are people that will shift their perception or shift their lifestyle as a result of something that they've listened to me or other people in the addiction space via TikTok.
It's so amazing. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head too. Like, while there are other recovery creators out there and other colleagues that may have more followers, you are doing such a great job right now of building connection with individual people in any business. It doesn't just matter about the recovery space. Followers are great. You know, we're going to get you to that 100,000 number. It's, you know, six digits. It's awesome. It's a great vanity metric. But there's so much more involved with growing a business, connecting with real people, doing video responses that you've done such a great job on recently, and taking that time to answer questions and really build rapport with people is why people are texting you and messaging you and reaching out for help. It's not just, you know, I'm not going to bring any names, but we've talked about, you know, certain creators in the recovery space that they literally just put the same video up over and over again because they know it's going to go viral. It's going to reach a lot of people. Yes, it's going to get them more followers. But are they really building a connection with people on an individual level? Probably not.
Yeah, I like that you said the word vanity metric. I thought when I first got on here, obviously this happens to everybody that wants to gain TikTok fame or gain, like, improve their name and or their brand in the TikTok space. They think more followers is what it's really all about. But I've learned from you and just from my own personal experience that I don't need to have 100K followers in order for people to see my content. If it pops, it pops. So, you know, obviously the whole cocaine video, we're at 1.6 million within a couple of weeks. And That means 1.6 million people have looked at that video. They didn't all come follow me, but definitely the following increased much more. For a while, it seemed like it was stagnant a few months back. But I also look at other people that are in the recovery space that haven't yet figured out how to navigate TikTok, and they're putting out stuff that's fruitful, that's good information, but not enough people are seeing it because they're going about it the wrong way. And, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to work alongside you is because I knew that you were like really good at what you were doing. You've been investigating this. You've been working with it. You've been making things happen. I saw the other evidence of people that you had worked with before and what you'd done for them. And so I thought, like, who more would I mean, I'd rather work with nobody else but Austin, because he really truly knows what he's doing. And here we are, year and a half in, and we're spreading this message widely.
Thank you so much for your kind words. I'm going to snip that out and use that as promo. No, you're great, man. And, you know, we have to adapt through stagnant moments, right? We have to try different things and A/B test and try different delivery styles and different content. There's peaks and valleys along the way. But when you look outside, not just on a micro level of, you know, these last 7 days or these last 28 days were not as good as the previous 28 days, but you really scale out and you look at it more on a macro level of, you know, yeah, the account's still growing. I'm reaching more and more people. Let's try new stuff to make sure that it's on an upward graph. That's what it's all about. That's good marketing, is just A/B testing, testing your messaging, paying attention to what your audience is asking you and engaging with, and building that structure off. And I couldn't be more proud of you, man. It's awesome. So I want to talk about how people are actually contacting you, because this is an important side of things as well. As you know, as we've brought up a couple times, there you used to be able to private message anybody on TikTok, and it would go into your message requests, or it would go into your message, and you could see everybody. And I think TikTok sort of took that down because people were spamming people's messages, and there was a lot of, you know, crap going on in that for the vast majority of people. And I still think there's not as many businesses leveraging TikTok as there are individual creators on TikTok that are not using it. So they're catering to those vast majority of people rather than the business owners and entrepreneurs who are actually leveraging the vast majority of people that are reaching out. But we've tested and tried a lot of different ways to get people to reach out and contact you for help. I'm curious what's working best for you right now. We have the Beacons link in your bio. Are they going to Instagram and shooting you a DM on there? Are they directly calling you or texting you or finding your contact info on your website? Like, how are people, you know, starting from a TikTok video and ultimately contacting you? What's working right now?
I mean, are we allowed to talk about this? If you're asking the question, I guess we are. Yeah. I mean, the second that they didn't allow us to be able to receive messages in TikTok anymore, I came to you. We talked about it. We tried one method through a certain setup. I think, is that the Beacon, or was it something else that we tried?
Yeah, we had Milkshake for a while. I think was the store that we used.
Okay. We tried that for a while. It seemed like there was some messages coming through, but then we linked through Beacon through to my Instagram, which that's just where it just made a world of difference. I mean, that's where a lot of my messages are coming through. People aren't dumb. They figure it out. Sometimes we say in our own videos, if you want to get some help, you can check out, click on the bio and you can then go and hit me. And sometimes I'll just say it straight up in my videos, go to my drug_intervention Instagram page. If you'd like to message me, and we can talk there, you know, so that's definitely a way. Not a lot of stuff is coming through the website. You know, when it comes to websites and SEO, and you got to throw money at it. And that's like not what I want to do. This is actually a way where it's beneficial. It's not cost effective. I already had an Instagram, and we're putting the videos on Instagram too. So we're building that area, that space as well. Yeah, but a lot of my stuff comes straight from Instagram. Like there's people that can search me, they can find the phone number, or they can send me a message. So I'm getting a lot of a lot of people that text, a lot of people that call, and a lot of people that hit me up on Instagram.
That's great. And you've done such a good job of spreading your name across the internet as well, which is really important, because when somebody, you know, this is such a sensitive thing, right? This is a life decision for either the individual or the family member that's trying to contact you, for their spouse or their child or their relative or their loved one or their work colleague, whatever, right? So it's so important to have all of these other things out there that they can do a little bit of research, right? So it's not just they saw a TikTok one time and then they immediately just trusted you at face value and said, help me, right? There's all of these other things out there that really bring the whole picture together. And I think you do such a great job about that, and talking at schools, having your own recovery podcast that you live stream every week, which, by the way, everybody go check it out. The links to it is going to be in the show notes as well. But you're doing such a great job. And, you know, if TikTok went away, you know, knock on wood that it doesn't, but you never know on these platforms, it's so important to have all of these other platforms in place so that nothing changes and you can continue to spread your message and reach out to as many people as possible.
It better not go away, because a lot of people be loving it. There would be an uproar. There will be a lot of people that are very angry if TikTok was to go away. So,
but I would be very upset as well, but I always try and prepare. Like, that's why I've been focusing on Instagram and telling you to put everything on Facebook Reels, which you've been doing as well, which is hot right now too. Repurposing is huge. But what did, you know, you had mentioned earlier, there's a lot of other recovery advocates out there, people in recovery, possibly treatment centers, possibly interventionists, mental health professionals, et cetera, that have good content, but they're not executing it in the right way to reach as many people as possible. So what advice would you give to either somebody in your field or just other business owners and entrepreneurs to create better content that's going to reach more people on TikTok?
Okay, well, I'll say this. There's one person in particular that, you know, it seemed like he and I had like this war going back and forth, that it was one-sided because he kept on trying to stitch my stuff. And it seemed like he would go and try and stitch other people that either he didn't agree with, thought they were spreading misinformation, or even perhaps stitching them because they had more followers than him and trying to gain their audience. So when I went and investigated some of his videos, I noticed that they were very poorly made videos. There were often, the camera was often shaking or moving. I don't know why. You know, I don't know if it was on a tripod or if he's holding it. And then also the style of what was being said and kind of just going at people. Like, what if you really want to spread information when it comes to the recovery world and you want it to be widespread and heard and growing, and definitely more people are getting more of a knowledge base of what your knowledge is, maybe you shouldn't make enemies with people. And then on top of that, like, maybe you should make your videos more sensitive, like, to where you actually care to help people rather than say they're all doing it wrong, I'm doing it right. And then on top of that, how you're labeling stuff, what you're writing on your, a lot of people don't, if you go based off of what you've learned in books and educationally, you come and you throw words at the general public that people have no idea what those words are or subject matter is, no one's going to zero in on that. Like, they don't really care. You might get your audience, depending on what kind of background or group that you're representing, that will zero in on it because they know your terminology. But if you're just going to come and throw some stuff at the general public needs to be, I believe, whatever you're putting as your topic needs to be simplified in the most simplest words to where people can zero in on it and gain interest on saying, okay, that is something that I understand. I need to go and see what that guy is talking about. And then you can talk about whatever you want once they're in, right? Like, you can dress it up and talk about it, but also you might want to talk about it in a very friendly manner, in a way to where it remains attractive once they've zeroed in. Because, you know, if they come in and you're like talking at people or getting mad at people or talking down to people, Nobody wants to hear that stuff unless like people get off on internet feuds and wars and anger. And I remember like when we had this issue with this gentleman, I came back, he told me to make one video. I was very respectful, very nice with him. A lot of other things happened down the line between us, and that was outside of TikTok. But afterwards, you know, I was told that you don't want to really mess with that guy. He's trolling you because he wants to gain your audience. So as far as other professionals go, this is something that you don't actually, you can do it all yourself if you really wanted to. If you have the time to go into your videos and make them a certain way, you can definitely create and mold your style in a way to where it's attractive. But it's about what your topic says, I believe, and your delivery and how you actually project and broadcast yourself. Because people get attracted. In the program, they say attraction rather than promotion, right? So people get attracted to you as an individual who's talking the talk and walking the walk, as opposed to somebody who's just coming and professing and coming. Nobody wants to hear a person that sounds like they're a teacher that's trying to get their message across from data that they've read or data that they like put up on the screen that like they will sit there and kind of have you like read through what they read previously. No one cares about that stuff. They don't care. Like, yeah, there's plenty of data out there, but you should read the data, learn it, and just say it rather than constantly try to prove it based off of your educational background or what you've learned. I believe, you know, and some people should stop reading off of teleprompters when they're on there because we can see your eyes moving. That's a no-no. Like, come on now.
No, I totally agreed. I it's so funny. I give you a funny hack that that people have been doing as a workaround for that. But the problem is when you read something off of your screen and you're reciting it, it's often, yeah, it's the eye line is not perfectly looking at the camera, but oftentimes it also comes across as very robotic in their voice.
Not genuine. You're right. It's very robotic. It's not genuine. Well.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can, you know, people can tell even if you try and, you know, do it a little bit, but a quick funny hack that I've been seeing people do is maybe you've seen like mock interview style videos where it's a side profile and it's the camera's facing this way. So it looks as if they're talking to somebody, but a lot of the time what they're doing is they're still looking at a teleprompter. They're faking that setup. They're faking the look of being in an interview and looking like they're talking to somebody else off camera to avoid that miss eye alignment. And you know, it doesn't help the voice pattern, of course, but it's sort of that fake conversation right there. So people
you've just given me an idea, you know, like, thank you for the idea. No, that's cool. I mean, that's great. Listen, I'm not going to lie. When I first got into the TikTok space, like there were certain things that I wanted to be able to sound better as I'm, talking about it as if, you know, like a professional. And there's a lot of things like that I know, and there's some things that I wasn't completely sure of. So I would find myself having to go look it up. And then sometimes even thinking, here, let's take different transitional videos. And I will talk about this and that, which I just looked up on Google. But then also, then I thought, you know what, dude, learn this stuff, talk about this stuff, but have it come from the heart, not from the head. If it's coming from the head, it's disingenuous, right? If it's coming from the heart, it's like real. It's more interesting. People care more. You know, they're more drawn into you as an individual than what you think you know or what you do know, right? So yeah. No. Or what you profess to know, I should say.
What was that? Say again.
Or what you profess to know, because nobody likes the smarty pants, like overly smarty pants. And I do look at other people's videos that are actual professionals. When I say actual professionals, doesn't mean that I'm not a professional. I'm a professional interventionist. I've done drug and alcohol studies, but they don't have letters behind my name. I go and look at doctors' videos that describe addiction or other various things. And I see that sometimes they present as a doctor. So, you know, that guy's a doctor. One of them might wear a doctor's outfit. One of them will tell you he's a doctor, but they speak in more medical terminology. And the first thing that I think in my head is, That guy went to school for all of that stuff and learned all that stuff in school. He was in the books. That's why he knows how to describe addiction in that sense, as opposed to how I describe addiction or my knowledge based in that, or how people may behave, is from my own personal experience.
Very, very well said. Pej, when you're just scrolling through TikTok, whether it be for entertainment, education, or something else, who are some of your favorite TikTok creators?
Yeah, there's a guy named TK California. I love that guy.
Okay.
He is a genius. He basically talks to anybody that's outside of California that complains about California, or people that come to California that complain about California and the things and the do's and the don'ts and all that. But he's comedic. He's so funny. He's so good. So good. Like, the things that he says to people are facts, and they're humorous, and his delivery is captivating. Like, I can't stop watching him. Like, I will go and just spend like half an hour, 45 minutes watching all of his videos. If there's new content, I'm like, yes, this guy just came up on my thing. I don't even follow the guy, but like,
he should.
But he comes on my For You. So like, I dig the guy. He's great. He's fun to watch. Who else do I really like a lot? There is, this girl, she's blonde, sobriety and something. I think she represents a treatment center. I like her content. I like her style. I like that she's different. You know, she's unique. She's not instructional. She's more motivational. I wish I knew her name. Let's see, who else? I like to see your stuff.
Thanks.
Like my friend Mahiar's stuff. His stuff is really good to watch. There are a few other people that, God, you just caught me off guard. I know later on when I might
have questions. Yeah. You'll always come up.
Scrolling later, I will see their stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of people that judge Patrick Ridge that represents Graceland. His content I've met him. I've been on his podcast. He's been on my podcast. His content is interesting. The style of filming, you can see why people are drawn into him. He's one of those people that you either love him or hate him. I think he's a good guy. I think his heart's in the right place. I think that he definitely has dominated the TikTok space in a short amount of time, both with his private account, Patrick Ridge, and then with his Graceland Ranch account. I do notice that his private account has many more followers and hits than his Graceland, but one probably came before the other. But in a short amount of time, the content that he puts out is definitely very appealing to people who are on the fence with recovery, who are in recovery, or people that just judge the hell out of him and don't like him. But he's got a lot of engagement, a lot of interaction going on.
Yeah, his content's really interesting. It's he sort of vlogs a little bit, and it's almost like watching a reality television show.
Very much like a reality television show, because he's never looking in the camera. It's always the side profile of some kind of something in action. Something's going on.
Yeah, it's captivating. It's controversial. It's polarizing. Like, he'll do a video of like. And it keeps you watching, right? Like, the cops coming up to his house, like, happens. It seems like every week the cops come to his sober living home because the neighbors call the cops or something like that. And you see that video come up, and he opens the video up. He's like, oh, the cops are here again. Let's see what they want today. And it, like, that's such a good opening hook. Cause yeah, I want to see, I want to know, I'm nosy. I want to know what the cops are there for.
Right.
You know,
there are some people that are my favorite human beings that are in the TikTok space, but I think they've been stagnant in growing their audience. Some of them want to, they've tried to, some of them are kind of over it. But one of them is Dr. David Wyss, who now I noticed that his videos are changing a lot. And so he's he's coming from different angles and different filming styles. And then my friend Chris Howard, he is an interventionist too. He owns Ethos House. I think his name on TikTok is something Life Interventions or something like that. But he's excellent too. What they're talking about is meaningful. It's real. It needs to be heard. I think that Chris now has somebody that he's working with. So he's going to be growing his stuff. There was somebody else. I like Front Row Frankie. Front Row Frankie's a buddy in Virginia who's very, very involved in recovery, and just his stuff is, he's charismatic. He's a lot of fun. And then my other friend, Frankie Dahl, who is also on TikTok and does some very interesting stuff. She's actually one of the people that, being that she's about the same age as me, attracted me to coming into the TikTok space.
Yeah, I got to meet up with Frankie. We've touched base a couple of times, and you know, we almost met up one time. It didn't work out. He lives like 15 minutes from me. We just haven't met up yet, but he's a really
great guy. Awesome guy.
Yeah, he's awesome. Pej, this was great, man. Love hearing your insight. Love seeing all of your success over the last year and a half. Where can people get a hold of you if they want to contact you, learn more? Where can they follow you?
People can follow me in many different areas. Pej, the Addiction Interventionist on YouTube, if you could go and subscribe to that, you can check out all of my video content by just clicking on video. I have a website called Pej's Recovery Corner and a podcast called Pej's Recovery Corner, which is in all different platforms of podcasts. It's P-E-J-I-S, Recovery Corner. And then people can find me on Instagram at drug_intervention. On regular Facebook, my name is Pej, P-E-J, and last name is M-A-N. My real name is Pejman, so I just split the two because you don't want my long-ass last name on Facebook. But that, you know, we do a lot of podcasts. I make myself readily available to people. You can always find me, and obviously on TikTok, my name is straight up Pej Intervention. You can look me up. If you type in interventions on TikTok, I think I'm at the top of the list. There's not a lot of interventions.
You can also just type in Pej.
Pej, too.
I think you're number one Pej on TikTok.
Wonderful. I love it.
Good. Awesome, man. I will have all these links in the show notes of this episode as well. Pej, thank you so much, man. This was awesome.
Thank you, too.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Business Talk. If you feel like you're ready to get started on TikTok, I have a completely free TikTok checklist that you can find in the show notes and description of this episode. If you found this episode inspiring, consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes or your favorite podcast listening platform. I know that's a lot to ask of you, but it really does help the podcast reach more people. Do you have any feedback about the show or a guest you'd like to recommend? Email me at podcast@socialtypro.com. Until next time.